Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head, hopefully, and feet on your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know, and you are the guy who decides where to go. You'll look up and down the streets, look them over with care. About some you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down the not-so-good street. And you may not find any you'll want to go down. In that case, you'll head straight out of town. There he goes. It's opener there in the wide open air. Out there, things can happen and frequently do to people as brainy and footsy as you. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew. Just go right along. You'll start happening too. Oh, the places you'll go. You'll be up on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights, like they were in Simpsonville last weekend, right? There they go. There they go. You won't lag behind because you have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. We believe that too. Except when you don't. Because sometimes you don't. I'm sorry. Because sometimes you won't. There we go. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can get all hung up in a prickly perch and your gang will fly on. You'll be left in a lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. You will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're darked. A place where you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? And if you go in, should you turn left or right? Or right and three quarters? Or maybe not quite? Or go around back and sneak in from behind? Simple it's not, I'm afraid you will find, for a mind maker upper to make up his mind. You can get so confused that you start in the race, down long wiggled roads at a breaknecking pace, and grind on for miles across weirdish wild space, headed, I fear, towards a most useless place, the waiting place. For people just waiting, waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or a no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, waiting for a wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting perhaps for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. No, that's not for you. Somehow you'll escape all that waiting and staying. You'll find bright places where boom bands are playing. Ooh, that sounds good. With banner flip-flapping, once more you'll ride high, ready for anything under the sky, ready because you're that kind of a guy or girl. Oh, the places you'll go, there is fun to be done. There are points to be scored. There are games to be won. And the magical things that you can do with that ball will make you the winningest winner of all. Home, you'll be famous as famous can be with the whole wide world watching you win on TV. Woohoo. Except when they don't, because sometimes they won't. I'm afraid that sometimes you'll play lonely games too. Games you can't win because you play against you. All alone, whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll be quite a lot. And when you're alone, there's a very good chance you'll meet things that scare you right out of your pants. There are some down the road between hither and yon that can scare you so much you won't want to go on. But on you will go, through the weather be foul. On you will go, though your enemies prowl. On you will go, though the hocken cracks howl. Onward up many a frightening creek, though your arms may get sore and your sneakers may leak. On and on you will hike, and I know you'll hike far and face up to your problems, whatever they are. You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you go. So be sure when you step, step with great care and tact, and remember that life's a great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft, and never mix up your right foot from your left. And you will, and will you succeed? Yes, you will indeed. It's 98.75% guaranteed, kid. You'll move mountains. So be your name, Buxbaum or Bixby or Bray or Mordecai, Ali von Allen, O'Shea. You're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get on your way. All right. Congratulations again to our graduates. Just a couple of minutes, I want to take a look at these few words from Ecclesiastes. And I want to say that this message is, it's not just for them, it's for you too. It's for everyone here, old and young. First of all, he says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember your Creator. And that word remember means to mark, it means to reflect on, it means to meditate. Why is it important to begin remembering God while you're young? Because, as he says, he goes on and lists it here, there are days of pain and trouble that you will face. There will be days of darkness, days of trouble will come, days that the clouds will follow the rain. Life is shorter than you think, amen? And it goes faster than you can possibly imagine. Psalm 90 verse 10 says that there are 70 years or 80 if we have the strength, but they quickly pass. I think about my own graduation in June of 1982. Our guest of honor that day was James Brady, who had been Ronald Reagan's on his staff and who was actually shot when Reagan was shot back in 1981. He was there in his wheelchair and his wife spoke. I think about that. Reagan was the president when I was graduating from high school. Ronald Reagan was president. That makes me old. Because Reagan went through a second term and Bush, the first Bush, and Clinton through two terms, and Bush too had two terms, and now we're under Obama. When I graduated from high school, Cal Ripken was in his rookie season. And then he went on and set the record for the most consecutive years. It goes by in a hurry. You take off the cap and the gown, and suddenly you're 45 years old. Except that doesn't apply to you. Sorry. What are some ways to remember? Deuteronomy 6. Don't forget, Deuteronomy 6. These things, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as frontals on your doorposts and on your gates. Remind yourself, give yourself whatever reminders you need to remember. Remember to be a part of God's family, the church. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't neglect assembling yourselves together as some are in the habit of doing. What that's saying is, keep on going to church. Don't give up worshiping together. You need church. Don't join the ranks. Those of you especially who are graduating from high school, here I'm pleading with you. Don't join the ranks of the biggest community that doesn't go to church. Those who have recently graduated from high school. When kids hit the age 19, the lowest number are attending church at the age of 19. Don't join their ranks. Keep on assembling with other believers. Jesus said, do this. Why? In remembrance of me. See, the reason that we take the time out of our worship service to take the little piece of bread and the little cup of juice is to remember what Jesus did. For 2,000 years, we have been remembering. These are signs, these are symbols to remind us. Remember your Creator and remember His Son, Jesus Christ. And then the second thing, verse 13, he says, now that all has been heard, here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God. That's the second thing. You need to remember your Creator. You need to fear God. Pastor John Murray once wrote that the fear of God is the soul of godliness. The fear of God in which godliness consists is the fear which constrains adoration and love. It is the fear which consists of awe, of reverence, of honor, of worship. And on these are the highest level of exercise. See, we want to worship God. When Isaiah was given a vision, he was brought into the presence, a vision of himself in the presence of the Lord. In Isaiah 6, he says, he saw God seated on his throne, high and lifted up, and that the angels were surrounding him, and they were crying out day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The earth is full of his glory." And you know what Isaiah did? He said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." He had this vision of God in worship, and it caused him to fall down on his face in awe and confess his sins before the Lord. The fear of God drove him to worship. Psalm 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." See, we're living in a generation where schools are trying to take God out. But the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." You want to be wise? You want to have knowledge? It begins with a reverent awe for who God is. As you go forward in life, you gain true wisdom and knowledge by having a healthy awe, reverence, fear of God. I think of David. You know, he's out there watching the sheep at night, and sitting out there with his harp and composing his prayers and his hymns to God. And Psalm 8 captures that. He's laying out there and he's looking up at the vast sky at night and sees the stars in the sky, all that God has created. And he starts plucking his harp and he says, "How great you are, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name." He says, "When I consider your handiwork, when I think about the stars in the sky and all that you have done," he says, "what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you even think about him. And yet you created us a little lower than the angels. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name." Friends, if you want to fear God, you want to reverence God, consider all that God has created, all the works of his hands, and then fall on your knees giving gratitude and praise to the one God. Make God the center of your life. One of our most important purposes in life is to worship God, to live in awe and reverence before him. And then the third thing he says in verse 13, "Fear God and keep his," what? "Commandments." That means obey what God says. Jesus said in Matthew 7, he says, "On that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? And didn't we do that in your name? And did we do all these great works in your name?" And Jesus says, it's not just enough to talk the talk. It's not just enough to say, "Yeah, I believe in God." But he says, you need to live it. You need to walk the walk. So that's the challenge, to not just talk the talk, but to walk the walk, to keep his commands. In James 1, he says, don't just be a hearer of the word, but do what it says. It's not enough just to put in your time at church and listen to the word, but you got to go out and you got to obey it. You got to do what it says. Well, I don't know where you are today. You might be graduating from high school or college. You might still be in school. You might have left school 50 years past. You may have raised your family. You may be raising your family. Wherever you are in life, in comparison to God and to eternity, I want to say this to you. You are all in your youth today. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that good to know? All our senior members, you're in your youth. You're still here in your youth. And I'm going to tell you why I say that. If your lifespan for eternity in the kingdom were a book, your 70 years on earth would not even be the first chapter of that book. Amen? It wouldn't even be the preface. It wouldn't even be the first paragraph on that chapter. It wouldn't even be the first sentence on the first paragraph. It wouldn't even be the first letter on the first word. That 70 or 80 years or 90, if you have the strength on this earth, is a blip. It's not even the first letter or the first word. It's the first stroke of the pen. In God, your future is ahead. Life in this present age will go swiftly, but in the kingdom it will last forever. Amen? Remember your Creator every day through your prayers and your devotions and reading God's Word and through weekly gathering together to worship Him and study and pray in the Bible. These are essential to helping you remember a God. And fear God and live in reverent awe. Do it of who He is and what He does. And then keep His commandments. Don't just read this book, but do what God tells you. That will enable you to serve Him better. I want you to decide right now before you leave this place, what is something that you are going to begin doing today to build remembering God into your life more deeply? Whether it's, I'm going to spend time every day praying to God. I'm going to spend more time studying His Word. I'm going to make worshiping God a regular part of my life. Set aside time to think about who God is. Go out and watch a sunset tonight. Observe a tiny newborn baby. Read a book that describes the creation that God has done. And then start obeying God in an area of your life. Is there an area of your life where you're saying, I know I should be obeying God here, but you've been neglecting it? Start today doing what God's Word says that you haven't been doing. Or is there something you've been doing that you know you're not supposed to? Then start today obeying God's Word. This is what God wants of us. He wants us to remember Him. Are you going to remember God today? And not just today, but tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. Remember God. That's how it begins. And then fear God. Live in reverence before God. And then obey His Word. Do what He says. And the way that we begin this journey is by following the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we close our worship today, I want to give that invitation to you. If there's someone here today that says, I want to get on that journey. I want to have my commencement today. My commencement to the rest of eternity to live forever in that kingdom. We would invite you as we sing our closing hymn. Number one, we'd invite you to come and to sing and to give your life and your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ.